Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. In 2021, Oliver James posted a video on his TikTok saying, "What's up? I can't read." The video went viral. Unread, a memoir of learning and loving to read on TikTok, recounts his story. As a result of childhood learning disabilities and educational neglect, Oliver James graduated from high school and became one of approximately 45 million functionally illiterate Americans. However, at age 32, with big dreams and few tools to realize them, he dedicated himself to learning the key skill that evaded him throughout his entire life, reading. Oliver James is a California-based personal trainer, motivational speaker, literary activist, and influencer. He's been featured on Today, NPR, Jennifer Hudson Show, Los Angeles Times, Newsweek, Rachel Ray, ABC News, among many others. Additionally, he's the recipient of the 2023 Barbara Bush National Literacy Award. He lives in Costa Mesa, California. And he joins us for the program today. Oliver James, thanks for joining us.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Good to have you on the program. So, a fascinating story. The book is out. Congratulations on that. That's another step in this amazing journey, I imagine, right? Not able to read to authoring a book.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
So you begin the book. I want to start there and then we'll loop back to your childhood. That moment when you decide to post this TikTok, again, for listeners, it simply said, "What's up? I can't read." And then things happened from there. Tell me about that. That must have been nerve-wracking to decide to do that.
Well, it's not that it's nerve-wracking. It's more of just it's more of like a fear. Like, it's more of I was just like emotions, more like high emotions.
So what did you, you say in the book that you were just tired of hiding this, and you figured, and you were already on TikTok, your personal trainer. So you had what, fitness videos, did you?
Yep. All of it was, I was mostly into fitness and like motivational speaking. Like, I was big into like doing a lot of fitness content and a lot of like trying to motivate people to just do better, change, you know, even myself. I was trying to motivate people in any way I could to be healthy.
And so you already had this platform. So you decided I'm gonna tell people this thing that I've been hiding. So what happened? What happened initially here when you put that out there?
Well, at first I thought it was gonna be a lot of backlash. A lot of people were gonna make fun of me. You know, things that I grew up with and the issues I dealt with. But it was a lot of love and pouring in with love, community, support. People just pouring in from all over the world, not just, you know, here, but the world, trying to help me out with reading. And that was big.
There's a whole book talk, they call it, community, right? Yeah.
Yep.
And a lot of those folks, I guess, embraced you.
Yes. So I got to connect with a lot of people around the world through books because of this. So a lot of people, I didn't realize, well, not a lot of people, but most people who read, you are all connected through reading different books. I never read, so I wasn't connected to none of that. So a lot of people were happy to offer me like a way in to be connected to all the literacy and knowledge and everything that y'all picked up over the years through growing up.
So whole other world of connection that you hadn't had.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Let's take you back to childhood. You explain in the book, workarounds, the extra work that you had to do because you didn't read much at all, but teachers would call on you to read. So you'd have to prep that ahead of time.
Yes. Yeah. I still do that. That's something I actually learned when I was young and I do that now to prep for, like, I've learned that strategy for different things. So yeah, that strategy didn't just help me there. It helped me through my whole life. So like, yeah, it became something that helped me out.
So, you know, people might wonder, and I quoted that statistics, 45 million Americans functionally illiterate. And I guess many stories are like yours. So I guess the question is, how could you graduate from high school without really being able to read?
You know, it's hard, but it's like everything else. I think in society as humans, we tend to look past the things that don't really affect us. So like, if it doesn't affect you, you know it's there. You just look past it because you're like, it ain't affecting me, so why the hell do I care? You know what I mean? Like, it's there. It's not hidden. If either you got the options to learn because you have the right community and support system, or you don't. And that's just what's happening. Like, you know, people think like everyone has a opportunity. I'm like, no, you got an opportunity. Not everybody got an opportunity. You're lucky. People don't realize how lucky they are to actually have gotten an education. They think it was just something they were supposed to get because they were owed it. Like, oh, this is mine. I need it. I'm like, no, it was a privilege. You just don't know it was a privilege.
So I guess you along with your classmates would just be moved ahead to the next grade despite where you were. Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's it. Pretty much. I got expelled from school maybe 4 or 5 times. I've never failed. I've been expelled like 5 times from school.
Yeah.
I've never failed.
Yeah.
So just think of that.
Yeah. That is amazing. Kind of an indictment on the whole system, right?
Yeah.
Now, you have said that now that you're an adult, you take ownership. But all adults have to take ownership of,
for sure.
of helping all kids become educated.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. It is 100% the adult's responsibility, and including me, because I'm not a kid anymore. So just because I was left behind and I was, you know, I didn't get the best options and the best education and the best, you know, support, doesn't give me a pass. I'm an adult now, so you don't get a pass. The kids get a pass because they're brand new. They don't know. I know I didn't get a fair option. Doesn't mean you get to sit around and cry about it. It just means don't give another kid the same lifestyle.
Yeah.
Change it for him or her. That's it. That's all it means.
Now, as a kid, you had ADHD, OCD, anxiety. Still have them, yes.
But, yeah, it don't go away. It never goes away.
But I imagine as a kid, you, until a certain point, you didn't know. You didn't know you had these things.
No, I didn't know almost all the way up until I started learning how to read.
Yeah.
So I was like 32 when I started realizing I had these. I knew I had them. I just didn't understand them because you're telling me I got letters. I barely knew the letters that you were trying to teach me the first time. And now you're giving me new ones. Like you got ADHD, PTSD, all these. I'm like, I'm still learning how to read. You telling me I got letters? I'm like, come on now. I'm like, I don't know what the heck is going on. And then when I started learning how to read, I started able to differentiate like what they were saying. I couldn't understand. I was like, I got letters. I'm like, what the hell does this mean? I'm like, where are all these letters? I'm like, I'm just me. But then when I started learning to read, I was like, oh, we're all just us. But some of us just have a little bit, you know, a little bit of differences between us. You just didn't know it. Yeah.
So I don't know. Was there help of any kind? You do say that that the you know, adults, the school labeled you as a problem child, so you became a problem child.
Yeah. I mean, there was a school. There was one school in my hometown that I went to. It was a school for kids with special needs. That's the school I ended up at. I ended up going there from about 8th grade all the way to our graduating. But that school was the school that changed me. They didn't really focus too much on teaching because I was already in 8th grade and I couldn't read and stuff. So they were like, hey, we can't catch you up, but maybe we could get you to a place where you at least feel like, how you say it, like you feel like you're a part of like, you know, like the daily society, you know, like you're a part of something, like you feel like you come in and you're accomplishing. So they let me come in and just like, sometimes I would do like a couple of math sheets, play basketball, you know, I might rap, I might want to rap a couple songs because I just liked rap songs, all types of stuff. They would just let me live as a kid. And I think that time and that setting allowed me to free myself to feel a little bit, you know, like, okay, school's not so bad. Now, was it the actual schooling that I should have gotten? No. But they were working with me, what I had by 8th grade. They were like, this is what you got, dude. You like music. You like playing sports. You know, you like doing a little bit of math. I love doing math. I still do. Like a little bit of math. They're like, you like a little couple of these things. How about you do that every day and come in as a positive, happy kid? And that's it. That's all they told me to do. I came in, school was much better. And I actually ended up like coming around, like being a really good student. But I just, the hard part was they couldn't really teach me anything because I was on like plus and minuses. I'm in like 9th grade, you know, I'm not knowing how to read. So they're giving me the best they can. They're just giving me whatever they could at that time. And, you know, I got up to like a second grade level of all my education, but that was about it. Then that's what I worked with my whole life.
Yeah, the definition of functional illiteracy is what, reading at less than a 6th grade level, I believe.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yep, yep. Anything honestly less than like 5th grade, functionally literate means is like you just got reading gifts, like you can read, but it's not going to do nothing for you. Like, you just know how to read a couple things, but it's not really benefiting you as an adult. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's, you're not going to really be able to. It's like basically trying to give a kid responsibilities over their life. Like, you're just like, you know things, but you don't know what you're doing. It's like, you're going to be, it's going to be so hard for you. And that's how it is. It doesn't change. It's so hard for me to take care of myself. Even as we speak, I have a fighting chance now because of the support that has poured in. And now people are motivating me to keep going, you know, and try to get out on the end of this as a, you know, a better version of myself. But it still is not easy. Like, every day I get up and I have to battle those issues to be, you know, like, a contributor to mm-hmm. society. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So you've had to develop all manner of coping mechanisms. Have you talk about things that you did as an adult, but one that stood out to me, you say that when you face an activity with instructions, you couldn't read, sometimes you'd start a fight, so you didn't have to admit you couldn't follow along. That's kind of extreme. The one coping mechanism, we also talked about, you know, memorizing, selecting where the teacher was going to come, then prepping for that. What are some of the other things you did to try to get along?
Oh, lie, cheat, steal, manipulate, you know, all the things that people do to try to just make sure that you can, you know, feel like you fit in. So, yeah. You know, anything I can get my hands on, or anything I can do to look like I knew what I was doing, I would have did it. So if it was lying, if it was stealing, if it was, you know, anything, I would have did it just to feel like I fit in. If I didn't have nice clothes and I was poor because my mom didn't have money and I didn't know how to make money or get a job, I stole them. You get what I'm saying? I'm like, I need new shoes. I'm going to steal them. Like, why wouldn't you get a job and just pay for them? I'm like, I don't know how to fill out a job application. And my mom never taught me, and we're poor, and I'm like, it's too many things in front of me. How about I just go walk into that Foot Locker and take them right off the shelf? It's like, what? It's like, well, it's just easier, you know? Like, I don't, that's a lot of steps. You're like, it's a lot of steps for people who can't read. But for a person who can read, it's like, well, I'm about to get a job, make some money, and buy as many shoes as I want, you know? It's like, but you can't. It's like, it's so hard. But you still want to live in this world. You still want the things the world offers.
Maybe talk a little bit about as an adult, there are a lot of barriers, right? You can't fill out forms, nope. Can't read traffic signs, nope. I guess. Nope. What are some of the other barriers? Yep. A lot of barriers.
You got kids, you can't take them to the doctors, you know, like things like that. Fill out their forms. You know, they may not have car, they may have not have health insurance. They may have not have dental insurance. They may not even have the proper forms to go to school themselves. They may not know how to read. Oh, how many other things you could think of? You may not be able to take your girlfriend or boyfriend on a date because you can't fill out, you know, you can't read menus, you know, you may not be able to get the driver's license. You know, there's so many things that keep going on and on and on that you won't be able to do. Mm-hmm. And you can, but the way to get it is always the wrong way. So you end up in the long run paying for it. Like, there's a price for it, for you taking those steps to skip all that, you know?
One thing you've talked about is texting. So you had friends construct texts where you'd save those. You recognize which ones might be appropriate to send, I guess, or to receive.
Yep. 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 Pretty much.
But that required a lot of codependency. That required people to help you out, I guess.
100%. That would be my whole entire life. That's one of the main reasons why I started learning how to read, because I did not want to have to depend on other people for myself. As a kid, it was a little different. But once you become a 30-year-old man, you know, it's like, you don't want people in your personal business, reading your personal things, looking, you know, it's like, it's just hard. It's really hard to just get by.
Zutsing, one thing you said with your partner, she would she'd send you pictures of what you needed to pick up at the grocery store.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So yeah, I still do that.
Yeah, some clever workarounds, right? But overall, pretty stressful to have that burden.
She had to teach me how to grocery shop. She had to teach me. I didn't know how.
Yeah. So generally, I imagine you try to hide this. It's embarrassing. You'd want to hide it.
Yeah, yeah. I still hide it in some way. I made myself that way, but I fight now to open up. But yeah, I still hide it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So before we go to our first break, take me back to that important moment, 2021. You go on TikTok. You admit you can't read. What did you said? You expected maybe you'd get people making fun of you. It was totally different. It was people embraced you. But what were you looking for at the bottom? You're looking for help, I guess, or you just wanted people to know. You wanted to let down that burden of hiding.
Honestly, I was looking for a relief. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Looking for relief, and did you get that? Yes. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello. Oh, looks like we've lost Oliver. Let's do take a quick break, and we'll get reestablished here. We're talking with Oliver James. His new book is out. It's called Unread: A Memoir of Learning and Loving to Read on TikTok. More following this.
Hi, I'm Evelyn Funda, host of this week's Eating the Past, an episode about our St. Patrick's Day celebrations. As a preview, let's play a quick game of two truths and a lie. Which of the following is the lie? Number one, St. Patrick, patron of Ireland, was originally an Irish-born poet. Number two, the original national color of Ireland was blue, not green. And number three, next time a pot boils over on your stove, you can blame a leprechaun. Join me this week to find out which one is the lie. That's Sunday at noon, Eating the Past, right before The Splendid Table on your UPR station.
I'm Julie Rose, host of the Top of Mind podcast. Barely a third of Americans say they have at least a fair amount of trust in the media.
I had been a reporter for 30 years before I ever heard anyone call us the enemy of the people.
What happens when we start to see journalists as enemies rather than allies of democracy and truth? It's Top of Mind.
Tune in Sunday morning at 9 here on UPR.
Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're talking with Oliver James today. He is a California-based personal trainer, motivational speaker, literacy activist, and influencer. He's author now of a new book. It's called Unread, A Memoir of Learning and Loving to Read on TikTok. Oliver James, good to have you with us. I think we got you back.
Hello?
Yes, we've got you back. Thank you. So I want to take you to that book talk community. You put out that viral video saying that you couldn't read. The people embraced you. What techniques did what did people tell you? I guess all manner of things to help you to learn to read.
Well, I think a lot of people were helping me with just pretty much like getting control of like my confidence, like basically saying like, hey, you struggle, but how about you just read from where you're at? We're not here to judge. We're just here to tell you, like, you're doing a great job, even though you struggle. And I couldn't understand that. Like, I got to a place where they're like, no, stop trying to be good at it. Just be where you're at. Like, you're great at where you're at. And I was like, huh? I couldn't understand that. And I was just like, I don't understand. Like, I'm trying to get, and they're like, you're trying to get to a place. And they're like, don't worry about that. You're good right here, Oliver. And I was like, that part. When they got me there, that's when I realized, I was like, oh, I'm an amazing reader, like a kid. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm good where I'm at. Like, this is where I'm supposed to be, right here. Like, I'm great. Like, this is great. And then that part, I think that was a part like where I got to, where I realized I was like, there's no competition. Like, you know what I mean? Like, your level of reading is that's yours. Mm-hmm. That's, and enjoy that. And I'm like, oh, I'm thinking I gotta be like you. And they're like, no, just you, where you're at right now is perfectly fine. And then that is when I start to realize, I'm like, okay, so I'm not dumb, because I feel smart as hell. And I'm like, no, you never were. It's just the fact that you're trying to measure yourself to other people. You're trying to meet them where they're at, and you're trying to measure yourself to their reading level, and it makes you feel dumb. And I was like, oh yeah, that's true. I'm like, no, just because they can read better don't mean they're smarter than you. And that's when I realized, I was like, okay, this is great. Like, thank you for giving me that. And now I can succeed. Now I can go forward with where I'm at. I don't have to worry. That's what helped me read a book, because I was able to see like, okay, well, I guess I can write a book then. I don't need to be a amazing reader, you know, to write a book. I just write it now. Like that, like that, that. That's why I was able to realize like, oh, what am I thinking? Why am I waiting to be this amazing reader and speller to write a book? And I was like, no, write it today. Like, why you're a bad reader. And I'm like, or not a bad reader, but where you're struggling to become a better reader.
Yeah, just start, right? Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's great advice. So where did you start? Do you remember the first few books that you picked up?
Yeah, the very first book I ever read was 365 Quotes to Live Your Life by R.C. first book that I was presented to me.
Yeah, so these were quotes by, I guess, famous authors kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So you jumped into that. Why was that? Why was that accessible to you? Why was that a good one to pick up?
Anne bought me the book. So she just bought it for Christmas, and I didn't know. You know, I was like, I didn't never had a book before, and no one ever bought me a book. So she bought me the book, and that book ended up becoming like one of my favorite books because it was a quote book. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very big on motivational stuff. As I, you know, I talked about before. So I'm really, I love motivational content and quotes and words and books. And when she bought the book, you know, she was going off of like, you listen to motivational stuff all day online. So I just bought you a quote book. And I was like, I didn't even know this was a thing. You know, at first I'm like, you could read positive stuff and books. And she's like, yeah, like that's where it comes from. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not on YouTube. It's in the books first. I'm like, oh, okay. And that's when I was like, let's go. That's when I started realizing that like books have more content than the actual content. Because YouTube, after a while, you watch so much of that content, you start watching the same content. In books, there's, you know what I mean? Like there's, you know what I'm talking about? Like there's, you read forever. You're never going to hit your, you know, you're never going to read all the books.
Yeah, it's a huge world right out there. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You're never going to read all that. Mm-hmm. You're just going to discover more stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could actually run out. You know what I mean? Like you could run out of content.
Yeah.
I've watched it all.
Right. I've experienced that too. Where YouTube gives up and it says, hey, we're done with our suggestions. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Remember, you watch the same stuff now. You can rewatch it. It's like, I got to that level.
Mm-hmm. Might indicate that you and I are maybe deeper into YouTube than some people, but anyway. yeah. So you read some children's books as well. That seems like a good place to start.
Oh, heck yeah. I've read hundreds of children's books, not just some. I've read maybe like over 100 children's books, easy. Way over, maybe like 200-300 children's books.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But I guess the language is simpler in children's books. That'd be a good place to start. Yeah. So what were some of your favorites? What ones do you remember that you read?
Charlotte's Web, Giving Tree. Those are two of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Right away, I would tell people. So if you're looking for two books and you're like, I'm just struggling, I'm like, start with the Giving Tree. Giving Tree was my first. That was my first, and it took a while to comprehend, but it's a very, very easy, very, very easy book. Very, very easy book. Not a struggle at all. Very easy book. So, like, it's easy to read, just very hard to comprehend. So that's why I recommend. So people who, you know, after a while, you learn more from it, more.
Audiobooks, was audiobooks, are those helpful in this?
Heck yeah. I still listen. I actually audiobook my own book. Because I struggle at reading. So I've read my book like two times, but I wanted to actually have it read to me. So I audiobooked it twice too. I'm actually going to audiobook it again. I just finished it. I want to memorize the book word for word, my book that I wrote.
Yeah. So I guess you could read it, but also listen to it. And that would help. Yes.
Yep. That's what I do. So I'm in the process of memorizing it. So like, I'm just keep listening to it and listening to it and listening to it. So then like, I get to a place where the book's in my head. I don't ever have to be like, I know it. Like I'm on chapter 14. It's da da da. Chapter. I'm like, oh, you know that. I'm like, because I listened to it 1,000 times. mm-hmm. So when I talk about it, I know what I'm talking about.
What are the techniques? Did you said generally the book talk community provided you encouragement for sure, guidance, I guess suggestions for reading as well. Have you learned any other techniques that would maybe help others who are trying to improve their reading?
Yes, voice to text was a big one. So being able to see the words. I'm not saying this is the best way to learn to read. This is how I learned to read. So like being able to talk to the phone and see the words pop up and then I memorize the words. So it was easier to memorize and learn the words right like that way because I could talk. So it was easy for me to talk and then just look at the words as I talk, as they pop up. And then after a while, I started being like, okay, I know these words, like I can read. So that's how I kind of taught myself to read.
Yeah. Maybe.
It's sight, but it's not like phonics or nothing, but at least it'll give you a step into the direction of learning, you know, like give you a little step into it. But you'll still have to learn phonics, which is super, super hard.
Yeah.
But worth it.
Worth it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, worth it.
Before we move on to the next topic, I want to loop back to this burden of hiding this problem that you had. And now that you've cast off that burden, you let people know, hey, I can't read or I couldn't read. What would you suggest for other folks who are functionally illiterate to do the same, just to come clean with people?
No, I wouldn't say come clean with people, but come clean with yourself. Like that, you know, first it wasn't people first. First it was my show. First I had to, for years, ask myself, like, yo, like, what's holding you back? I would say the same thing, reading. I would always be like, why don't you got money in your account? Money? Well, my reading. Why can't you be on time? You know, my reading sucks. So I always, you know, why can't you get a better job? My reading, why can't you? Why? I was always chopping it up to reading. Then I was like, learn to read. Then I was like, oh, damn. Now I would ask myself those same questions. Why don't you got money in your account? I'm like, oh, damn. Now I'm like, well, why don't you have this? I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like, yeah, now you're working at it. It's like, no, it's not like, why don't you? Now wait till you have some money in your account. Wait till you know what I'm saying? Like, wait till you're able to take care of yourself. You wait now. It's like, now you have hope and you're sitting back like, well, the struggle's not so bad now. I'm like, why? Because I'm learning to read. So I know once I become an amazing reader, I should have a pretty amazing bank account. Should have a pretty amazing, you know what I mean? Like, story to tell. Should have a pretty amazing job. I should have something close to that because I eliminated the problem. I'm not saying it's going to be the best, but it'll eliminate that problem that I've been telling myself all my life. Why can't you just have a better life? Because you can't read. This world is designed for readers. They designed it that way. If you can't read, you're going to have a struggling time in this world. Not in another world, but in this one, you're going to have a hard time. So learn. And that's when I realized, I'm like, you're right. Instead of trying to fight it, why don't you just join it? It's not a problem for you to learn. It's hard for a reason because it's going to benefit you. It's hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to benefit you, though. So just learn something that's for you is basically what it is.
Mm. Now, early on, I think it was early on, you were just improving your reading.
Oh, hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Oliver James on the program today. And he posted, you may know, he posted a video on his TikTok in 2021 saying, "What's up? I can't read." The video went viral. And the book that's a result is a memoir, Unread, a memoir of learning and loving to read on TikTok. It recounts his story as a result of childhood learning disabilities and educational neglect. He graduated from high school, became one of approximately 45 million functionally illiterate Americans. We're telling his story on the program today. Oliver James, we have you back?
Yes, I'm here. Okay. Sorry about that. I'm on my book tour, so I'm traveling on the road in my, like, I'm traveling the country in the book. So I'm stopping at different places. I'm in their parking lot randomly.
All right. Well, yeah, adventures here. That's great. You meet a lot of new people. Well, I appreciate you being on with me. So early on here, you set an ambitious goal. You could barely read. You're just coming out of functional illiteracy, and you set a goal of reading 100 books in a year.
Yes. Yes, 100 books.
So why did you do that? Why such an ambitious goal?
You know, honestly, because it was hard. Honestly, like I didn't even think I was going to be able to accomplish it. I just wanted to do something hard because I was just tired of, you know, you just get tired of making excuses. And I was like, you know what? How about you give yourself something that's going to make you work your butt off? And I was like, yeah, and that's it. And then when the world jumped on, when, like, you know, the news got into it, people got into it. There was a bunch of people who, like, jumped on it. I was like, well, now you definitely can't stop. You got to finish this. So it was great. It was hard. I went through a lot. It was very stressful. It was very hard on my mind. I would not recommend that to a new reader. I would say, take your time. Do not read 100 books as a new reader. Take your time. I would say that. I have a social media platform with millions of people hyping me on. It's like a sport. So it was a totally different thing, you know, but it really did almost break me. So I want people to understand, like, do not do that. Like, do not try to read. I mean, if you know you can do it, do it. But don't be like, I'm going to do this as a new reader. And I'm like, no, you don't need to do that. Like, you don't need to do that. That's not normal. So I also want people to know that it's a great accomplishment, but it's like, it's not something that I would recommend to a new person learning to read because it was very stressful on my brain, like very hard. It almost caused me like mental illnesses. I tell people, like, it broke me down really bad.
Do you remember any of the books, any of those 100?
I've read, but I mean, many of those books were like, that's around the time when I was doing a lot of my favorite books, like Giving Tree, Charlotte's Web, Holes. You know, I was reading at that time. I also was reading like a lot of mental health books and stuff, like I was audiobooking as well. Like, so I was reading and audiobooking, like books like The Body Keeps the Score. You know, I was reading some, and anything from like levels of like trauma and issues you're going through to like literally books like Charlotte's Web, like breaking you down to like his book. So back and forth. So it was easy. That was easy to say. So.
We're talking with Oliver James on the program today. His new memoir is called Unread, a memoir of learning and loving to read on TikTok. We'll have to take another break. Be back with our final segment with Oliver James following this break.
This week, This Old House Radio Hour and Marketplace Morning Report present Building Tomorrow, a special episode exploring how homes are being reimagined for the next 100 years.
We destroy all these buildings, literally burn them down or throw a Category 3 hurricane at them so that we can figure out how to make them better.
That's this week on This Old House Radio Hour.
Tune in Friday morning at 10 and Saturday afternoon at 3 here on UPR.
Programming support here on Utah Public Radio comes from our members and USU Extension. USU recently established a center to support economic growth and technological innovation in rural Utah communities. Information at extension.usu.edu.
Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're talking with Oliver James. He is a California-based personal trainer, motivational speaker, literacy activist, and influencer. His new book is a memoir. It's called Unread, a memoir of learning and loving to read on TikTok. Glad to have Oliver James with us for another 10 minutes or so. Reading, I expect, learning to read opened up some technical things for you, able to fill out forms better, right, follow directions. But you have said this beyond that, it opened up a whole new worlds for you. Worlds that you hadn't even imagined. That's the power of reading.
Yep, 100%. 100%.
And so that develops for you things like empathy, I think, yep. Right? Problems that other people experience that you haven't experienced. That's, again, the whole new world beyond the technical of reading.
100%. Yep. These are things that a lot of people can't, you know, you don't really notice it. Like, and a person who doesn't read won't know. You know, like, they can't. It's impossible for them to know because they never know. Like, it's like, once they know, then they can't go back. But, you know, it's like that.
Now, does that make sense? Yes, that does make sense. Okay. Now, you've talked about your relationship with your son. I think you have a couple of kids, but your son, the reading, has helped you to kind of bond with your son.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, but I think it just helped me bond with humans in general better. Mm-hmm. You know, communicating better. You know, kids are still humans. So, like, you know, they're harder humans to communicate with. You know. And if you haven't educated yourself, you won't put the time in to even try to give them a better life. You know what I mean? Like, you're already trying to give yourself one. So it's so hard. So, like, bettering your own life sometimes will make you have a better life with your children and the humans around you. Your loved ones.
Yeah.
Make you a better father, a better husband, better parent, better student, better worker, everything. So it can't hurt you. It's only going to make you a better version. Those things going to fix you. But it'll make you a better version of it, you know, that's all.
Has reading helped you with dealing with your OCD and PTSD the various problems?
100%. 100%. Because I'm able to take accountability and get help for myself. It's hard to get help when you don't know how to read. You know how hard it is to go get these freaking forms and applications and all these things people talk about to get help for mental health or even any help? So hard. So now I can read. I don't need nobody's help. I read and I go read it. I'll go read a book. The book tells me where to go. Then I go to that place. I get the help I need. And then there we go. I don't got to worry about it. I don't have to sit around and just stress myself out and trying to figure it out. I just read about it and figure it out. And then, like, okay, it's not easy. Might take me 2, 3, 4, 5 months to get help and get on track. But that's okay. It's my life. Mm-hmm. I'll take 3, 4, 5 months to get my life together. Like, I'm okay with that.
Now, you've said that you dealing with your problems will help you not pass that on, help to make it not intergenerational.
For sure. Yeah, that's like that with anything, though. You know, you deal with your stuff, then you don't pass it on to the next person. Don't mean they're not going to have stuff. They just won't have your stuff. They'll have their own stuff to deal with.
So I want to talk about maybe advice to, let's start with parents and then go to school system. So what would you say to parents who maybe notice their child is having some trouble reading? What would you suggest?
It's up to you. They can't know. They won't know. They don't know. They don't understand the world that you know. And if you don't give them tools to be able to operate in this world, then they'll just get exactly what you give them. So don't mean that they're not going to be adults. But they're going to be looking back wondering what the heck happened. Like, why don't I know how to do this stuff? And it's like, well, because the adults who were responsible for you didn't give it to you. And it don't matter. They could be like, it was hard. I tried. Or it was that. I'm like, it don't matter. That kid was a kid. They didn't get an option. The kid doesn't get an option. The adult gets an option. Now that the kid's an adult, hopefully they make a better option. Like myself, I didn't have an option. I'm like, okay, you didn't learn to read. I'm like, well, you can't sit around and be, you can't sit around and complain about it now. You're an adult. I wish they would have did it when I was younger, but they didn't. So now I have to sit back and be like, well, do it my dang self. But if you're a parent out there and your kids are still kids, give them the chance to not have to do this themselves. That's what I'm saying. Make it hard on you so it's easier on them.
Mm. What about the school system? What would you say? The school system is in some ways...
Don't rely on
it. Yeah. Don't rely on the school system. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, don't rely on the school system. Like, the school system is there to do exactly what it's supposed to do. And that's to teach your kids and get them ready for a working world. And if they don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, if they don't know how to do that because you didn't know how to do that, then you got to give them something. Give them something. Give them give them an option to say, you know what? I never did good in school. I never did good with nothing. Like, I always made mistakes with this stuff. But I did know through my journey, if I could count and read, I can make something of myself. So at least, I can give you that. So that's how I see it. That's how I see it. So.
What would you say to friends? I mean, you had... Had a lot of friends, have a lot of friends. You were depending on them when you couldn't read. If you had a friend who couldn't read and you knew it, what would you suggest to that friend to do for their friend?
At that time, nothing, because I was embarrassing myself. But now I would say, hey, man, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it was my friend, I would tell him like I did when I was a kid. Like, do you know the problems when we were kids? Let's not skip past it. You were there. Come on now, like, you gonna do that to yourself? Like, I feel like they would understand. I would tell them, like, internally, you know what we went through. You know what we had to go through. You know the things that were a struggle. You know this. So if you see me doing it, now you got to look at it and go, okay, all right, well, he's trying to, you know what I mean? He's trying to tackle that problem that we all know about. Let's get to it. Let's do it too. And I'm like, yeah, get to it. I ain't nothing special. I ain't no more better than you. Then you can see the proof. Like, dang, he's really just doing this, like, you know what I mean? Like, from the mud. Like, he's not coming from, like, help. He's just creating it. So I want them to see, like, man, I'm going to go do it, too. I'm not going to sit around and be messed up. I'm going to do it, too. If he's doing it, I'm going to do it. That's what I want them to see. It's like, there's no blueprint to this. I'm just making it up. I don't have no idea what the heck I'm doing. I'm on a phone call right now for a book tour. I'm on a book tour. I ain't never even read books before, like, a couple years ago. I'm over here doing things I never thought I could do. And that's why I'm telling them, I'm like, I would tell people out there, like, chase that. Chase that part that you don't know what to do. Now I'm out here doing things, meeting people in places I always wanted to do. I always wanted to meet people with books. I always wanted to learn to read. I always wanted to feel smart. Now I'm out here like, dang, like I feel like one of those smart people. I show up at venues and they're like, hey, who are you? I'm like, my name's Oliver. I wrote a book. I'm here for this. They're like, wow. And they're looking at me like I'm some special person. And I'm like, it's because you are. It's because you never viewed yourself like that because you thought you were stupid. You thought you couldn't fit in. You thought nobody, like, you know, was going to want you. You thought all this stuff. And now the world's looking at you like, go ahead, keep going. Show the world that there's a way that people can learn even in their 30s, even in their 40s, even in their 50s. That was my mission. So that's what I'm here to do. Make sure that people learn and they'll understand that reading is important.
What would you say to people? People call you, and it's true, resilient, right? Courageous. You did something very hard for you to do and are now having success. Maybe not even a person experiencing illiteracy. Maybe it's another problem. What would you suggest to people to tackle that, to face it head on?
I've never been brave. I've never been courageous. I've never been any of those things. That's just what you've seen in me because that's what you wanted to do. It wasn't me. It was you. You've seen brave, courageous, and all that stuff because that's something you want to do. I'm scared as hell. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't know none of this stuff. I'm just trying to make it up and get to where I need to get to. So I want you to know this, like, hold on, you don't know what you're doing? Not a damn thing. I am scared. I'm scared to be on this video, this call right now. I've never done none of this stuff, but I just do it with the fear. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'll tell you, like, hey, I'm scared. I want to have, right when I get off this call right now, I might throw up and have an anxiety attack and have to take my medication because I'm like, oh my gosh, that was way overstimulating. But I don't care. I'm going to still do it. So that's what I tell people, like, hold on. So you mean like that feeling never goes away? You'd be like, no, you just learn to do it with it. That's all I'm trying to tell you. Like, oh man, I just threw up thinking about it. I'm not, well, if you had something you were supposed to do, I suggest you clean that throw up and get to it. And that's pretty much how it goes. It's like, and if you got to throw up again and get back to it. It's like, that's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah. We'd put that on a poster. That's yeah.
Yeah. I want people thinking like you're this brave person who's running. I'm like, hell no. I am scared as hell. I don't know what I'm doing at all, but I'm doing it. And I want people to know like, oh, so that's how you do it. I'm like, yes, there's no right time. There's no none of that. I didn't know what I was doing getting on this dang call. I don't know how to set up Zooms. I don't know how to do none of that. I have to call them and say, hey, can you send me a special link to my phone so I could click on that and then make sure I get into here? And I have to do so many different steps and I'm on the road. I don't even know how to pay for tolls and do certain things, but I pull over on the side of the highway like I am and make a phone call with you. I'm just making it up is what I'm saying to you. So I'm like, I'm telling people out there, like, there's no perfect. I'm not in no perfect setting. I'm right now in sweatpants, having showered in 2 or 3 days, sitting in a parking lot, cleaning out my van and talking to you about my book and traveling to the U.S. I'm like, what? With an overdraft bank account. So I don't even have, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm about to get paid, but I got overdraft. That I'm trying to tell people, you see the chaos? It's nothing. It's still chaos. That's what I'm trying to tell people. Keep going. I'm still going to get up tomorrow and read and do everything I can with $2,000 overdrawal bank account and hope and will. I don't care. I'm still read. So that's what I'm telling people. I'm scared. I'm wondering how my bills are going to pay. I'm going to take care of my family, but I'm still thinking like, well, we still got to read though. I'm like, why? Because we set off on a journey to learn to read because we knew reading is going to get us a better life. So no matter what, that can't stop. Right now, the life ain't that great, but it's on the way. We just got to keep reading.
Well, that's very inspirational. Yeah, do it. Yeah. Do it. Sit there with the fear and do it anyway. That's great advice. Yeah.
I want people to know that. I want people to think I'm on here faking like, oh, he's just this great guy. I'm like, no, I am stressed out. I'm going through it. But I got the fight. You know what I mean? Like in me to like, well, then if I got an opportunity to learn, then I'm going to focus on that because I'm going to learn to read. I'm going to learn to spell. I might even learn another language and move to another country. I don't know what I'm going to do, but if I can learn, I'm going to learn it.
Just a couple of minutes left. I want to move to that. What are your dreams? What would you like to do in the future?
College is next.
Okay. Yeah.
College next. Ooh, I want to go to college. I want to go to school. I want to attend those classes. I want to walk in there with my book bag on. I want to sit in the front row, talk to the teacher and ask them 1,000 questions. I want to be annoying. I want them to be like, oh, you didn't come to fail. I'm like, no, I came to succeed, pass more than anybody. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if I don't. But I'm going to work at it. I mean, I work like I should get an A+, but I got a C-. You'd be like, what is that? I'm like, that's how hard I worked. That you thought it was an A. That's how hard I worked. But I just worked so hard because I knew that's how much it was going to take for me to get a C. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm telling people. Like, I'm on it like that, and I'm prepared. I want to go to college. I can't afford it right now, so I'm not going. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I get me a scholarship or something, I'm going to college.
That's great. That's a great goal. I can see you being that annoying student on the front row. Yeah. That's what professors like is a motivated student. So I think you'll do great. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to annoy the hell out of them.
Yeah. that's great. Well, anything else you'd like to say about your book or your journey here?
See, go get it. If you do, I would really appreciate it because I'm trying to become a New York best time seller. I don't even know why I want to become one, but I read a lot of damn books and all those books were New York best time sellers. So I want to be one of those. But even if I don't, I just hope that you get the book and you just, you know, you get something from it like I did from the books that I read. Like, you're like, wow, I feel like a new person. So please get the book. And if you follow any of my social medias, tag me, comment if you use social media and let me know your viewpoint, what you think about it. So then also when I write my second book, I could take all your advice and pour that into my second book.
All right. Well, yeah, it's a great book. Unread, a memoir of learning and loving to read on TikTok. The author is Oliver James, and he's been with us on the program today. Oliver James, thank you so much. A pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for working with me today and all the little mess ups on the
Oh, no, no worries. No worries. Yeah. I enjoyed the conversation. I believe our listeners have as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to Access Utah.
Scott Wetcher, Leo T here, where it's one sky, many cultures. As we delve into mid-March already, can you believe it? We can see the skies start their magical spring lineup, engaging with winter constellations and whoever else feels like showing up, like comets, asteroids, flying saucers, other distinctive orbs or birds flying high overhead the nighttime as the moon slides by and changes nightly. On a clear night, you can look high and west and see lots of big orbs hanging in the sky to entice the imagination. Jupiter is the largest in here, just below Castor and Pollux, and to the right of this is Big Capella in the constellation Auriga, which looks kind of like Leo the Lion. Orion and affiliated beauties are still up, so lots to look at and absorb in enjoyment. Also here, an Artemis Moon Program update. Remember, going to the moon? While NASA calibrates and perfects millions of parts and systems to send the first humans out around the moon since 1972, those that do the science have gone into some extra thought on the Artemis 3, which was originally planned to land on the moon. Taking a page from the highly successful Apollo Moon Program, they're the only ones that have ever done it. They'll use this mission, Artemis 3 that is, to do a dress rehearsal of the rendezvous of the command module and the landing module first. Look at the old videos from 19-whatever if you want to. This is a very intelligent choice, as parts are parts, and these are parts with more parts. They need to be able to dock and undock to be able to be safely landing on the moon. Once Artemis 3 can successfully complete this process, then Artemis 4 can land confidently on the moon in 2028. But use the brain, scientists. And way out past the moon, a solar storm that hit the Earth also hit Mars, and two Mars orbiters were lucky enough to witness that event. That happened back in 2024, and it supercharged the Martian atmosphere and knocked out the those spaceships that were watching for a little while. And in space history, on March 10th, astronomers discovered the rings of Uranus in 1977 using the occultation of a star, which is an eclipse, basically, that showed five rings. They saw that because of the dark shadows that were passed across Uranus. The first ones discovered around a planet other than Saturn. Later, an additional eight rings were discovered, some by Voyager 2 spacecraft in 1986. And by the way, did you know Uranus has 28 moons? Lots of exploring to do out here on the galaxy. And as it is in one sky, many cultures, and World Women's History Month here are two readings, one from Haley Shuck in Nebraska, the other from my mother, Olita T. My mother, Skywatcher Olita T. in Casper, Wyoming.
Sky's bright circle. Did you see the moon tonight? Ever bright, frozen white. Blue earth veins picket deep. Messages in shadow, mazes of moon words. A cloud of breath where horses stand, closed-eyed in the barn. And owls in the brittle boughs, ghosts of frozen night, wear sky's bright circle in their yellow eyes. In spikes of ice on pointed tips of pine, the dawn is captive for just a moment. Golden, cold, zero, a world of white, no longer night.
It's One Sky, Many Cultures, as we come to you from Wyoming. Here's a special reading.
Evergreens are symbolic of the tree of life and man's ability to be victorious in the face of death. They symbolize life eternal and enduring. The wreath of green made in a circle symbolizes man's infinite nature, without beginning and without end. At the time of the winter solstice, when nature has allowed her creations to die away and rest for a while, the evergreens symbolize victory over death. And because the days then begin to lengthen and the light returns to the earth, we celebrate the return of the light by lighting candles and sharing joyously with one another.
So get up high, look around, and get just a little bit lost in space. Skywatcher Leo T.